Talking to a friend of mine, he's a Monsignor in the Catholic Church, and he told me a joke. I asked him if I could share it, and he said that would be fine. As you all know, I grew up in the Catholic Church, or maybe you don't know, but some of you, you all do now. I have two uncles who are Catholic priests, and so this friend, a Monsignor, and I have been spending some time together. This is the joke he told me. He said, it seems the Pope died, and St. Peter told him, you know, you've been such a good Pope, I've been authorized to give you whatever you want. And the Pope said, I want a room and a copy of all of the original manuscripts of the Bible in the early church. Peter said, consider it done. So it was. A few days later, Peter and the angels heard this great commotion coming from the room. They rushed in, wanted to make sure he was okay. He wasn't okay. He was very upset. What's wrong, they said? It's an R. It's an R. It's an R, said the Pope, pointing to one of the manuscripts lying there in front of him. What do you mean? Asked Peter. It's celebrate, not celibate. I thought you'd appreciate that. Now, I don't know if the joke would actually work in the original languages, but I do know that celebrate isn't a word that many Christians have in their vocabularies. In fact, we kind of shun from it. Because if we celebrate, well, there must be something wrong with that. Right? We ought to be the most joyful and lighthearted people I know. We ought to be the laughter of the party. We ought to have friendships with people who enjoy laughter, celebrating life, the gift and the love of others around us. We ought to be that kind of people. And yet, so often, it looks like when you come here on Sunday morning that you all have been eating some really bad lemons. We're sour and dapper and dull, if not contentious, and sad. We have every reason to be happy and joyful and celebrate what God is doing. I truly believe that worship should be a reverent celebration, but I hope it's more of a party than a wake. You know? I'm not sure if all of the implications of the resurrection have really occurred to us. This whole concept of Pentecost, that we really get this, that the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. We have every reason to celebrate this wonderful gift of life that we have. It's a time of joy. And it's a time of thanksgiving. It's a time of celebration. And in wonder, look at what God is doing in our life and in our church, and to thank God and celebrate all that's going on among us. We get into this point where we take ourselves, I think, a little too seriously. We get into conflict and anxiety and turmoil because we can't keep our disagreements in perspective. Shared it before, I don't mind sharing it again. G.K. Chesterton said, angels can fly because they don't take themselves seriously. They take themselves lightly. Jesus was accused, as if it were a crime, of being one who enjoyed celebrations. Now, some of you know this, others of you don't. But occasionally, I like to smoke a cigar. Did you all know that? You didn't? Well, now you do. And I love Perry's story. Perry was asked, will the preacher get sent to hell for smoking a cigar? And Perry's response was, he won't get sent to hell, but he'll sure smell like he's been there. Don't you love it? Can you laugh a little? Can you laugh at yourself? I love to laugh at myself. Every day, yeah. Can you take yourselves a little lightly? Not quite so seriously. Can you enjoy life? It really is wonderful. Can you enjoy church? It really is good to be here. It's a great place to celebrate God's love of us, to celebrate God's gift of life for us, to be around and to help each other in the trials and the difficulties and the challenges. It's a good place to smile and to laugh. Now, of course, not all parties are good parties. Some people don't know how to celebrate without getting drunk. It's the way they ever learn to relax. Some people can't seem to celebrate unless they make somebody else unhappy. They want to make sure that somebody else is feeling terrible, and then they can celebrate because somebody else is sad. I know. I guess in order to lift themselves up, they got to put somebody else down, you know. Other scriptures today, though, tell us that there's two parties here, one of which was pleasing to God and the other not so much. I believe they each have something to tell us about our celebrations, even our celebration of worship. In the days of King David, Israel recovered the Ark of the Covenant. It had been captured by the Philistines. And you remember the Ark, I guess, from the Exodus stories? You all familiar with the Ark of the Covenant? It was a symbolic throne within it, recognizing God's continual presence among them. Just like Pentecost. And they brought it to Jerusalem. And when they brought it into Jerusalem, they got it out of this barn. It was a great celebration, and they were so excited about it. They finally brought it to the temple. And the people shouted, the band played, David danced, and they erected a tent like the old-time tabernacle, and they offered sacrifices of thanksgiving, and it was a party to remember. I mean, it was a moment of unbelievable worship, celebrating what God had done for them. Do you celebrate what God's done for you? Can you think of all the things that God's done for you? Do you come to this place as you recall and remember and celebrate? Come celebrate Jesus. Celebrate His love. Celebrate His life. Give thanks for all the ways that God has been at work in your life, all the blessings that you have. You have blessings? This means yes, this means no. I don't know. I don't know if I got any. Sometimes, maybe. Yeah. Some days, yeah. We all have them. Blessings. Now, David didn't want anybody left out of the celebration. That's what I like. It was uninhibited worship. He had food given to everybody who came. No one went home hungry, not even the poorest. Everybody got included in the party. Except for David's wife, Michal. She was excluded. You know why she was excluded? She didn't want to come. She didn't want to come to the party. Why would somebody exclude themselves from a party? Huh? Yeah? Why would you exclude yourself from the party? Something inside her kept her from joining the celebration. Maybe she was too inhibited, you know? Maybe she was just too locked up in her royal aspirations to understand the significance of the moment and the joy that everybody else was feeling. She didn't want to celebrate with everybody else because she wasn't happy. And you know what else she did? She criticized David because he was celebrating. Isn't that funny? Stand back and watch everybody else celebrating and having a good time, and then you look out and say, well, I don't care for those folks anyway. I don't want to be with them anyway. Look at them making fools out of themselves. Michael missed the point. Maybe we've all known moments when everybody else was celebrating and we just didn't feel like we could join in because we didn't feel connected, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we didn't feel connected to God or to them. I think too many people are chronically disconnected and detached. Regardless of your preference or style, there should be something in your spirit that knows how to celebrate the presence of God, especially on a day like this. Happy birthday, church. Celebrate the presence of God among us. This is unbelievable. The Holy Spirit is here with us. This is a day of celebration. Certainly reverence, dignity have their place. Worship isn't just to be frivolous or trivial, but if we're too serious to be touched by genuine moments of ecstasy, to be filled with gratitude by all that God has done for us, to be awed by the majesty of God. It's amazing how some people come to a party and are so sad and so upset because somebody else is there and they're celebrating and we don't like it. You know what I mean? You know what I say? Celebrate anyway. It's a party. Did David stop dancing because Michael didn't like it? I think he just jumped higher. And he was wearing something that was like an ephod, they said. Do you know what an ephod is? Well, it isn't much. Have you ever worn a hospital gown? That's about it. And you got to imagine, this 40-something-year-old man was jumping and round and dancing and Michael said, don't you just look awful. And you know what David said? I love it. He said, Michael, I wasn't dancing for you. I wasn't dancing for them. I was dancing for God. And I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to keep dancing. Isn't that beautiful? Can you do that? Keep on dancing. There's plenty to celebrate. The other party in the scripture today is also a king's feast. King Herod throws a party for the elite people in his circle of power. John the Baptist isn't invited, but he's at the center of attention. He's been preaching truth to power. He's been reminding the king that he falls under the laws of God too. And now Herod doesn't like John, but he apparently enjoys hearing him preach. Not so Herod's wife, whom John has insulted. Herod's stepdaughter does the infamous dance, and Herod offers her whatever she wishes, and at her mother's prompting, Salome asks for John the Baptist's head on a platter. Now, Herod doesn't want to do it, but he does it because of the promise, and he doesn't want to lose face in front of his guests, you know? Be bad to look bad in front of his guests. This is a party that's about power, and it's about prestige, and it's about position, and it's a place where people jockey and maneuver and manipulate, and the stakes are high, and not everybody can sit in the chief seat. And once you're on top, you have to scramble because you have to hold your power, you know? And you got to thwart everybody else who's opposing your power. few years later, Herod Antipas is defeated in battle, an event many people see as divine punishment for his killing of John the Baptist. Not long after, his own nephew, Herod Agrippa, forced the Roman Empire to dispose Antipas and sent him into exile. And that's where he lived and that's where he died. In exile. Two parties, two kings, two ways of being in the world. One connects to God and God's love of people and celebrates without inhibition all of the wonderful gifts that God has given and enjoys this wonderful life that we have. The other's connected to power. And it becomes manipulative and controlling. Gets caught in the trap. Even commits murder in order to save face. One party gives life, the other takes it. One party shares power, the other abuses it. One party includes everybody. The other party excludes people. Which kind of party does God prefer? Which kind of party represents the church? A friend of mine who visits in her in-law's church fairly often likes their worship service. She likes the music and the preaching, and she told me they're divided into several different groups, and they all go to lunch after church, and they criticize the other people who've gone to lunch after church who were in the other groups. And then they whine about trivial kinds of things, It seems like there's a lot of politics in that church. Their lives are so small, she said. I get bored with the pettiness. Is that why we go to church? Is that the kind of party God wants us to be having? Another friend of mine pastors a small town not far from here. I actually preached at his church before I became your pastor. And he was telling me he had the great honor of chairing the Ecumenical Vacation Bible School. You'll appreciate this, Melissa. Last year he tried to get them to invite the African American church to join in the Ecumenical Bible School. And the other churches refused. They said, well, if they come, then we probably won't participate. So they had an evaluation meeting and they invited the Episcopal pastor, who was new to town. He stepped in to the ant pile and he said, well, why not? Why can't we invite everybody? Well, one of the pastors said, be okay with me, but my people wouldn't join in. Another pastor said, my family is prejudiced and I'm proud of them anyway. This isn't going to change all of that. And we can't change the world by doing this. Just stay away from it. You're sitting on a powder keg, folks, and we don't want to fool with this. So what do you do? You know what they did? Well, they did nothing. One of the lay leaders said, look, you don't understand. I work with these people and they're not like us. Can you imagine? This isn't far from here, folks. Little town. breaks my heart. The church in too many places in our time is all about power and exclusion and elitism and us against them. And, you know, we have some people who don't come to worship because they don't like me. Can you imagine not worshiping God? And not only do they not come to worship here, they don't go anywhere to worship God. Can you imagine not worshiping God? Really? How sad is that? Is that what God wants? Breaks my heart. Us against them. Why? We're going to sell our birthright for a mess of pottage? Give up of our faith for because we don't get what we want? Really? Play the political power games of the world instead of creating God's vision of a church whose goal is service and reconciliation and community and ministry and love and grace and all of these good and wonderful things. I hope it's not true of our church. I know it's not true of Christ. Jesus spoke of the great banquet that's going to be in heaven to come. Who do you think is going to be there? Some of you may be surprised. You know what I mean? What you gonna do? You gonna try to back out? You gonna miss the party? Because you see somebody there you don't like? Really? Told parables about the poor and the blind and the lame, and they all got invited to the king's feast, and all the people from the highways and the byways and the religious paramongers of his day rejected him because of it. And he was hanging out with who? He was hanging out with sinners and tax collectors, and Jesus practiced an open table and said, anybody that wants to come can eat and join. You're all invited. Nobody gets excluded. Nobody. Did he exclude the Pharisees? Did he say, everybody's invited except for you people who don't like me? Or did he say, everybody's invited? Everybody's invited. Y'all come. Y'all come. God accepts and loves everybody. This table we celebrate represents this open table of Christ. You know what? You get included. Everybody's invited. And no matter where you are in your life at this moment, no matter how much you messed up, failed to live as you know God wants you to live, the only people left outside this table, you know who's left outside? The ones who exclude themselves. Who don't want to follow Christ, can't abide with the thought of everybody being at the table, including them, can't rejoice with the gratitude and thanksgiving that they're included too. So don't hold back. Don't exclude yourself from God's love. Don't miss the party. Open your heart. Let God's love in. Let's celebrate.